It's time for College Football Talk with former All-American and two-time Super Bowl winner and current ESPN College Scoreboard Analyst, Mark May. Brought to you by Edward Food Giant, The Meat People, and Firestone Complete Auto Care. Together, we keep your car running newer, longer.
And we're joined live by Mark May. Mark, first of all, I got a note here. It says, checks in the mail.
We're going to get you taken care of, Mark.
Nice.
Checks in the mail. Mark May, after another probably, what, the biggest weekend in college football we've had so far. We saw who was and who and what. And I'll ask you, and I think your answer is the same as everybody else's, who were you most impressed by last week?
Has to be South Carolina.
Yep.
The way that they played, the way that they handled Georgia was really impressive. I thought Georgia would have more heart. I thought they'd play a little bit better. And it should have been a shutout, but Steve Spurrier let them score at the end of the game. But when you looked at that game, they just dismantled this Georgia team. And still, you look at the way that they played at home. I want to see if they can do it on the road against LSU this weekend. And you got to look at Florida. Florida was really impressive.
Yep.
And I don't know what Will Muschamp's doing. We had him on last week. We're going to have him on this week. What he's doing at halftime. You know, this is a team, the second half, has given up 13 points to the second half all year long.
Yep.
And they haven't given up any points in the fourth quarter
all
season long. Zero. Goose egg.
And we were talking a while ago, we spend more time in college football with the foreplay than we do the actual act because, I mean, for 4 months out, everybody talked about nothing but this is going to happen, that's going to happen, the anti-Petrino period, and we have this big buildup, and here we are, and it's sad for me to say, half of these teams are already halfway through their season.
Yeah, and it's just like that. It's you blink your eye and half the season's already gone. And you look at some of these teams, and some of these teams you knew that they were going to be pretty good. Some of these teams you thought would be okay and get over the hump. Then there are a couple teams that are surprises out there. When you sit back and look at some of those teams, it's you kick back and look at Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
It's one of those teams that I looked at. I said, you know what? I had them in the Poinsettia Bowl last year. I did that bowl game, and I thought they'd be pretty good this year. And this is a team. If they get by Texas A&M,
watch out.
They got one game left against Utah State at the end of the season. I think they'll be challenged. They've got a pretty good chance to run the table.
His name's been mentioned by some as a possible candidate for the next step up to the University of Arkansas. Of course, we've heard every name under the sun. And I have a man crush right now this week. It'll change next week, I'm sure, on Dana Holgorsen.
That's not a bad choice, but if you're Dana, why do you leave a pretty good job that you've got right now at West Virginia, where you're in a conference where you know everybody, you know every opponent, you've been in that conference for a long time as a coordinator and quarterback coach, to go someplace else? Now, Arkansas can step up to the table and pay, but so can West Virginia now because they're in the Big 12. So it's going to be one of those things. What would you like? If you would like to go to the SEC conference, it's up to you. But I don't know if Dana would take that job because, he's comfortable now because he's only been a head coach. This is his second year now.
Well, you start talking about paying $2, $3 million. Well, they're paying you $2, we'll pay you $3. I think a lot of people forget the intangibles of maybe he just likes where he's at. And do I want to go from where I'm at, say, Boise State, where I'm going to win every year, or do I want to parachute in to Russia, the SEC West, and take my chances?
Yep, and your back's going to be against the wall every single week.
Yeah.
You're going to be under the microscope, and not just the local microscope, the national microscope every week. So every little thing you do is going to get magnified by 10. It's not like you're in Morgantown, West Virginia. Now you're up with the big boys.
It's like you get a big name, you get all the big coverage, like Charlie Weiss. I mean, I don't think,
wow.
And I don't know, I don't care. But the magnifying glass follows him wherever he goes.
Yeah, and that's a job, him taking that Kansas job. But when he got that job, we all kind of looked at each other saying, why? it was disgraceful what happened his last few years at Notre Dame. I think it was like 12 and 27 or something like that last 4 years. And then all of a sudden he goes to Florida where their offense is absolutely terrible. I mean, they're one of the worst offenses in the country. Then all of a sudden, Brett Peace goes to Florida as their offensive coordinator in 1 year. They're undefeated.
Well,
and then Charlie gets his job over at Kansas, and he pulls the same stunts where, what he did at Notre Dame, he put a new padlock on the athletic dorm where nobody could get in unless they had a special code or they asked him. You couldn't go into the football facility because he put a padlock on that. And then the way that he treated the media was disgraceful. And he's doing the same thing at Kansas. At Kansas,
a doormat always. I think I can recount on 5 years the years that Kansas has been relevant in college football at all.
How about this? They got beat by Rice at home, and it was Rice's first road win in 3 years against an FBS opponent.
That's not a good start for a coach.
Nope.
You mentioned Notre Dame a while ago. Not many people around here like them. I love them because everybody else hates
them. Watch out this week. Toughest game. Maybe they one of the toughest games they'll have all year with Stanford, right?
Yeah, this is the way that Stanford's playing right now. And Stanford's a team that rebounded. But here's the thing. With Josh Nunes, their quarterback, his worst game was his first road game. And that's when they played at Washington. I want to see how he responds on the road against Notre Dame. And, you know, Notre Dame, everything's gone their way. All of a sudden you look at Stanford, their best wide receiver, he's out this game with an injury, right. A lower body injury. And you look at Notre Dame, everything's falling their way. You know, who thought that playing against Michigan, that Michigan would turn the ball over six times? Come on. That just doesn't happen. And the way that they're playing, you know, something special about this team. And every time you look at them, especially defensively, you know, they're doing a terrific job defensively. Bob Diaco, their defensive coordinator, has done a special job. But they're getting it done. They're not turning the ball over, and they're getting turnovers.
And they got a leader that they can rally around, number five. What's his name?
Monte Teo.
Yeah.
He's special. That kid's a beast.
He's playing out of his mind right now. We can hand out midterm grades at this point. Unfortunately, we're already at midterm with a couple. And there's a couple of teams that are already bowl eligible, believe it or not. But I would have to, as I look around, I would have to give hard consideration for Coach of the Year to the guy at Penn State.
Well, Bill O'Brien's done a terrific job. They've won four in a row right now. He's turned it around. And, you know, he's done it with a lot less talent. And you look at their wins, there's no marquee wins there.
Nope.
But still, they're going to start to face some teams right now. But the way that he's kept this team together, and Matt McGoin, the quarterback's done a terrific job protecting the football. I think he's got like 14 touchdowns and 2 picks on the season. And that's really key. The bottom line, when you look at college football, like any football, National Football League, if you don't turn the ball over and you get more turnovers than your opponent, you've got a really good chance to win.
Ole Miss had Texas A&M on the ropes the other night, should have beat them, and we play Ole Miss in a couple of weeks, and I don't know what to expect.
Well, if you turn the ball over six times like Texas A&M did in that game,
yep.
You got a chance to be in it.
Is that quarterback really that special?
I'll tell you what, Manziel is tough because he leads a team in rushing, and obviously at the quarterback he's throwing the ball more than anybody on the team, but he's just a tough little guy that figures it out. And here's the guy that they thought was going to be a safety. You know, all of a sudden, Kevin Sumlin says, you know what, you want to play quarterback, I'll give you a chance. And he plays quarterback, and he does a terrific job. But he's so quick, he's one of those guys that he's misleading because you look at him, and he doesn't look that big or that fast or that strong. But when you put him on the football field, he's a competitor.
Well, Mark, this weekend, another big game in the SEC. You know, everybody is talking about South Carolina. Oh, Gamecocks, you're going to play for the national championship. Uh-oh, LSU is a 2-point favorite. Everybody'd written off LSU. They got beat by Florida. Somehow those folks in Vegas think it might be a closer game. What do you think is going to happen down there in Death Valley?
But we're going to find out about LSU, how tough they are. And we're going to find out if they can stop the run, because Mike Gillislee just ran it right down their throat in the second half last week. And now all of a sudden you're getting a better running back and Marcus Lattimore, bigger, stronger, better running back. And their offensive line for South Carolina is playing at a high level. Can South Carolina do it on the road? That's what I want to see. I want to see how mature this team is, because now everybody down there is patting them on the back in Columbia. You guys are great. You guys are one of the best teams in the country. Got to win a couple more and you guys are right there. I want to see how this Steve Spurrier team reacts on the road in Death Valley against a tough
team. And then in the Swamp next week. I mean, they got to hellacious.
If I'm Steve Spurrier, I have a right to bitch about the schedule this year. That is just crazy.
they got a tough one. If they win this one and they win next week,
they've got
a good argument to be the number one team in the country because what they've accomplished.
I think you're probably right, but I look at them as what you need to win on the road. You need a good defense, and you need to be able to run the ball.
Yep.
And I think they've got that. And I said before the season, watch out for their quarterback. He's going to be one of those guys, one of those great college quarterbacks that will probably never make it in the NFL, but a guy who keeps everything together and scrambles well, and he's done that.
And he definitely done a terrific job at that. He's not made the mistakes that you usually make. And, you know, you always remember, you always see Steve, like, wiping his visor down and throwing it on the ground. You haven't seen that this year. Connor Shaw hasn't made those ridiculous mistakes.
I did want to ask Mark, too. Mark, I've always wondered, you know, when you're 6'6" and 250 pounds, whatever you are now, do you, and you got kids, do you still do Halloween at all? Do you, does Mark May get dressed up? And if so, what was the last costume that Mark May got dressed up as?
Dr. Lou.
Dr. Lou, how perfect. Hey, I want to ask you about a couple more games here real quick. One that we were surprised to hear the line on West Virginia and Texas Tech. I think West Virginia, and I know they're going to Texas Tech. I know Texas Tech has great defensive numbers, but they hadn't played that
only
many
three
great
points.
Teams. But we're talking about a 3-point line here.
It's traveling down the road. I think the way that they won last week, the emotional game against Texas, that's something that they've never done. They've never beaten a marquee opponent like that in their backyard, like Texas. And, you know, for them to do it 2 weeks in a row, I think they can. I think this is one of those games. Obviously, it's got to be another high-scoring affair for both teams because both can score and put points on the board. But you look at Texas defense, they're awful. You know, Oklahoma goes in there and puts up 40 on them last week. You expect the same thing for West Virginia, that and more. And West Virginia's defense, last week against Texas, everybody said, well, they gave up so many points the last couple games. When they had to get a defensive stop, they got it. And when they had to run the ball at the end of the game with Bowie, they did it. And that's one of those things that shows the sign of a pretty mature football team that's got great leadership. But Bowie rushed the ball for 207 yards against Texas on the road. You know, what can he do against Texas Tech, which defense supposedly isn't as good as Texas? So, you know, I look at that game and I saw that, and I thought, you know, for sure they'd be at least a 7-point favorite going into that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that game's, it may be closer than the experts think, but I think West Virginia over, take care of business.
Over and under 77 for that one and 88 for Baylor TCU. Not much defense being played, for sure.
I take West Virginia over, and I would take the Baylor under. Because Baylor's got to score. I don't know about TCU, because without Casey Paulhall, I don't think they can score many points.
All right, finally, down on the Red River in Texas, what do you figure?
You know, this is one of those games every year we used to talk about this game for weeks because both teams are usually, you know, undefeated coming into this game, or at least one's undefeated coming into this game. And, you know, you're talking about chances of the winner coming out being a national championship, but just not this year. You look at Texas, this is a team that's been ripped the last couple of weeks. They gave up, Joseph Randle had 199 yards rushing against them at Oklahoma State. Bowie had 207 last week. You go back to even New Mexico. New Mexico rushed for over 200 yards against this Texas defense. They were supposed to be pretty good. With all the starters that they had coming back last year to this year, I think Oklahoma's going to look at it, and they've got Damian Williams. He's averaging over 7 yards a carry. I think they look at this situation where they're going to try to run the ball first and see if they can break a couple, and then they're going to throw the ball against them. I like Oklahoma in this game, and I know Texas has improved. I know David Ash has improved as a quarterback, but you know something about Oklahoma that when they get slapped around and embarrassed, they always respond. And when they got embarrassed by Kansas State, they responded pretty good at Texas Tech.
Well, being that one of your best features is Final Verdict, we too are gimmicky on this show, and we've taken October and turned it into Rocktober. So we ask you today, who's your favorite female artist of all time?
That's a pretty good one. Female artist of all time. That's a pretty good one.
This is not Lou Holtz. We asked a tough question.
Well, the thing is, Aretha Franklin, I was like killing me softly when I was growing up, and I just loved that song. And even as I got older, every time I hear it, I kind of remember a certain point when I hear that song. I can remember every word.
Aretha's been mentioned multiple times. She may be one of the others. Probably not one of the top two or three.
Well, there's only one problem here.
I didn't want to bring it up. Maybe Aretha Franklin covered it or something.
You're Aretha that covered it.
That's what happens when you don't get the chicken.
Hey, Mark, you have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
Do you think that's at all possible?
I think you can go on a three-game run here. I think Kentucky's in that game, you know, should be an easy game. They should win that game. Ole Miss, I think they're going to win that game. And Tulsa, four-game win
streak.
You know, who's the four-game win streak right there? And, you know, who knows? If they get lucky, maybe Mississippi State, they're playing in Iowa. They're in a bowl.
Prediction for the Razorback.
Got to win one tough game. One of those tough
games. I think Ole Miss, Mark, he's still going to beat Tulsa. I think Ole Miss, Freeze has done a good job with those guys down there.
Yeah, he does a wonderful thing. At least their offense are scoring some points, which is something they haven't done in the past.
Now we got to Ole Miss on Little Rock, so that's a great day, baby. That's a win. Mark, have a great day.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Mark. NBA on the show with no name from ESPN. Back in a moment.
Guys, are you feeling run down? You're tired or fatigued? Maybe you're getting laid in.